Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. So this week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 11, The Reverse Flash Returns. One of the coolest things from this episode, and one of the things that I took away from this episode, was just how much... like how many difficult decisions Barry had to make in this, just this one episode alone. Because as we talk about the episode, we're going to talk about the two big events or two big losses that he had. Because essentially in this episode, he eventually has to sort of lose his mother all over again when you really think about it. And at the beginning of the episode, at the end of last episode, we see that he lost Patty. So it's like he's losing the women in his life all over again.
Yeah, there's no way of actually stopping any of the turn of events from this point on. He could have prevented this, but there's always something that somehow just wrecks it for him in the future.
But yeah, like I said, what I took away from the episode was just the amount of loss that Barry's dealing with, and just how this whole season, or this second part of the season, it just rains like on Barry, man, nonstop, really.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You know, from Zoom, like from everything that's happening with Zoom, from you know, from everything that's happening with Patty, and then all of a sudden having Yu Barthon come back into the picture, and you know, Barry's still dealing with what's going on with Zoom, and you could tell he's still very much hurt from everything that happened with Yu Barthon. So for him to come back and to be in the picture again is, you know, it's just very... I guess a very difficult moment for Barry. Well, one of the things we do get to see is that Yu Barthon has no idea who Barry is. So he just sees that he's the Flash and he's going around. At the beginning of the episode, we see Barry stop this like runaway truck, and Yu Barthon is there watching from a distance. And he's saying like, okay, I finally know where the Flash is from. So what it does seem like is that this is Yu Barthon's first time in his past.
It's more of him... it's more him trying to figure out which time he's actually in. I don't want to say time, what year and what actual dimension, because he can travel through time regardless. It's just the fact that he doesn't know which timelines he's in or where he can actually stop at. So that just that instance when he actually traveled back in time, that's why he was asking Gideon. He's like, where am I? Like, I really don't know where I'm at. And then as soon as, of course, the runaway truck happens, he's like, oh, I got it. I know which timeline we're in now.
So one of the things that does happen, speaking of time travel, is Harrison Wells explains essentially how that could have worked out. So he talks about Yu Barthon being, he's from the future. So even though they have already kind of dealt with him, this is one of the first instances that future Thon comes back in time. So obviously when you're dealing with time travel, you're going to have very convoluted explanations for things. Yeah. And I think Harrison Wells' explanation was as simplified as possible, because it could definitely be a lot more complicated. But he put it in a way where, okay, it makes sense. Like, this guy, he might have traveled back in time several times, and even though it's their future, it's still his... it's kind of weird to say, like, his past, but still future.
Yeah, it's pretty much what he did hasn't happened yet. It's just he's taking the actions to pretty much begin all that. But, of course, time traveling...
so, it's time travel. It's always going to be difficult.
It's always going to be crazy.
Well, one of the things we did get to see throughout the episode was a little bit more interaction between... look, as we talk about Barry losing Patty, she still hasn't left. So we do see like the last awkward interactions between him and Patty, because, you know, honestly, he's torn up about the fact that she's leaving. And, you know, it's sort of like he wants to tell her. And every interaction that they have, to me, it felt like Patty wanted to stick around and really... wanted him to tell her like, hey, don't go. Even at the beginning, like within the first scene when they're in Barry's lab and she's talking to him, it does sort of seem like she wants him to tell her like, hey, you know, forget everything else. I just stay with me.
Yeah, first the workload was all huge, so he has a lot of work to do. Next was she coming and saying, oh, you looks like I'm gonna have to... looks like I'm gonna have the same amount of workload I have to deal with too once I become that. And he's like, yeah, of course. And just simple answers giving it to her. But you can tell that she's like, well, once you say something, it's like, well, you already said it. You said you want to move on. This is me moving on. And it's really hard for him to actually wanting to say something to her, but she already pretty much slammed the door in his face.
It's one of those things, I feel like she might have done that, but just to put the ball in his court, you know? Like, hey, this is something I'm going to do, but it's not set in stone. No. To me, that's what it felt like, that it's not set in stone. Mm-hmm. It is definitely something I want to go out and do, but I can be persuaded otherwise. So that's where I took her interactions with Barry. But obviously, in the back of Barry's mind, it's like he wants to keep her around. But he's still dealing with the kind of turmoil brought about, you know, from Zoom. And now you Barthon in the picture. Mm. Like, he constantly gets reminded of what can go wrong and why he shouldn't keep her around.
Yeah, it's ridiculous from one thing. Because he's already done that before, gone back to the past, changed one thing, and then another thing just escalated out of nowhere. Like, I still remember the one that I really enjoyed the most was when he goes back, stops Weather Wizard early, and then that's where Cisco gets kidnapped by Captain Cold, and that's when Captain Cold finds out, oh, who Barry Allen really is. It's the Flash. And that's where it just changed everything.
You know, this whole episode to me felt like it dealt a lot with loss, because we're talking to, like, later on in the episode, you see Caitlin and Jay Garrick trying to get back Jay Garrick's speed. So she does tests on him, or she uses DNA and conducts tests on him. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was in the last episode. In this episode, she starts talking to him about finding his doppelganger and seeing if they can replace his cells with Jay Garrick's. And Jay Garrick, you know, does tell her, okay, well, I did find the doppelganger.
Yeah, he did find the doppelganger, but he even said it to her. It's like, well, the only reason why my cells wouldn't actually merge with the other ones is because mine are just genetically altered. So his cells will not work with mine. Like, this is
because he has a speed force.
Yeah. And then, yeah, this is the cause of my own doing. So it won't work at all, which is great, because they actually did a really great reveal with that character, which I really enjoyed. And I was finally glad that they finally did it. His doppelganger actually has a different name. It's not Jay Garrick. It's Hunter Zolomon, who you guys will later on know he's actually not that good of a person.
And dealing with loss again, it's Iris losing her mother, and going that whole scene between Iris and her on her essentially her deathbed because she's dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. It's, to me, it was one of the hardest things to watch, because you see this like person that obviously she hurt Iris quite a bit, but you see Iris getting past it and sort of saying, okay, I do forgive you for what you did, and you've tried making amends, and to an extent, like, I've accepted you in my life, and I've accepted Wally in my life, but it's short-lived because now you're not going to be with us.
Yeah, this one is really of a giant emotional roller coaster, and it's crazy to see all these small little things have gigantic emotional repercussions this entire time. But one thing that really I did not like from this episode, I really took it at a really wrong way, but most people probably didn't, is Wally West wasn't there at the bed of her mom, the side of her bed, the entire time, which is the reason why he was drag racing, is to pay for all the hospital bills and get her better. But he's not there the whole time, which I found that as, well, your mom's dying, that's your only family, and you're not going to be there.
I kind of thought about it from, like, I kind of thought that Wally just didn't really know how to deal with that too much. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, like, Wally's character has had so much thrown at him in such a small amount of time. It's like, oh, by the way, you have a sister and you have a father who you never knew, and these are the reasons you never knew him. And now your mother's dying, so you have to take care of that. And the only way you know how is through racing, and that's causing turmoil between you and your newfound father. Mm-hmm. And it's just so many things that are in such a short amount of time for Wally that I would assume it'd be pretty difficult. Now, the whole thing of, like, not going to his mother's deathbed, I did think, like, yo, man, that's pretty cold-hearted. And you kind of understand, like, why he did that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, you definitely have somewhere you need to be.
Yeah, you should have been there from the very beginning.
But at the same time, you can understand, it's like, it's very difficult. You know, you have it's like the only parent you have, and now this person's not going to be there anymore. But the exchange between her and Iris was just amazing, and the exchange between Iris and Wally later on in the episode to me was so powerful, you know, just having her essentially, they're almost like this really interesting family dynamic now. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't really know each other, still, like, look, I don't care that you weren't there, and I don't care, like, what necessarily happened before, just know that family is family. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's sort of teaching Wally, like, you do have a family. Francine's going to be gone, but you still have a family.
Yeah, that her words pretty much spoke out really well. She pretty much said, like, I hated my mom. But as soon as I talked to her right there, it's like I pretty much came to terms with saying she's not a bad person and I can now finally let her go. Like, I, all the bad things I said to her no longer exist. And then it's your turn to go to her, tell her what you feel, and then come to terms with it. Like, this is where everything's going to change now.
Now, moving right along, we do see Cisco get an upgrade to his powers. And throughout the episode, we see Harrison Wells trying to get Cisco to use his powers, but Cisco doesn't really know how they work. And it is until finally Harrison Wells puts on the Reverse Flash suit and scares the crap out of Cisco that it sort of sparks something in him. And that's sort of when Harrison Wells discovers, okay, so it's adrenaline that drives you. It's essentially when you're scared out of your mind that your power is going to work. And, you know, they go about, I do love these segments of like Cisco and Harry working together. Like, I love all these interactions they've had throughout the season. And this is one of the coolest ones where it's like they're working together on getting Cisco's powers to work. So they finally get these goggles, these like vibe goggles. Essentially to like have his powers work. Mm-hmm. And you know, he uses the goggles for the first time. He's seeing all these things come around. And then all of a sudden he sees Dr. McGee get killed by the Reverse Flash, which they all take as an event that had just happened. So I believe this is the first time that Cisco realizes he can see the future.
Yeah, this is one of those instances, which is cool because that's exactly what Will says. Like, wait, what time did it say on the computer? It's like, oh, it was like 7:38. It's like, well, it's like 4 o'clock right now, so we have 3 hours to find her. Like, essentially that. But the crazy thing is how the goggles work. It just tricks the brain into dumping more dopamine into his body. So his adrenaline would just start skyrocketing, and that's when his powers start working. It's actually pretty cool the way how that works out.
But we do see repercussions of that later on in the episode. So we see that they do manage to stop the Reverse Flash from going into the future and from killing Dr. McGee. But as they've done that, they put him in the prison, and well, let me go back a little bit. They put him in the cell, and one of the coolest things we see is that Cisco has a confrontation with him, and Cisco tells him like essentially what happened
throughout the entire time. Yeah,
he confronts him, and he's like, even though he's not the U-Bar Thon that he grew to know, he will eventually be that person. One, yeah. And he just tells him like, you gave me these powers, and because of these powers I was able to defeat you. And even Barry has a moment when he comes in and he tells him exactly what happens, and he's almost gloating, you know. Barry's almost gloating like, no, I stopped you. And to you, Barthon, that probably doesn't mean anything. He's like, what is up with these people? Like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Because it hasn't happened for him yet. Mm-hmm. But for Barry and for Cisco, I think it was very cathartic for them to really confront Yubar Thon that way.
Yeah, he's that big demon that they're always trying to like push away from their backs. And the finally of the capturing of him, put him in the cell, that actually already extinguishes all that, all the guilds, the trust issues. It's all gone now after that. You notice that they were all like, all right, cool, I think we're good now. But then that small little glimpse of Cisco's nose bleeding, like that happened in like 3 or 4 different scenes. So that kind of plays a sign. And then the way how was it Harrison Wells puts it, I was like, you stopped something, so there's going to be some sort of repercussion.
It's like you're essentially trying to change the timelines. It's sort of like Marty McFly disappearing from the pictures. Yeah. That's essentially what's happened to Cisco.
Yeah.
And you know, it brings up this whole new issue with Barry where it's like, look, you've just captured this guy, and I know this is a great victory for you. You're going to have to let him go. Like, essentially that's what Harrison Wells tells him. It's like, if you don't, Cisco's going to die. Like, there's no way around it.
Yeah, that was hard, though. It's the fact that, like, he finally confronted, defeated, and imprisoned his biggest enemy, and now he has to let him go. And that's a terrible thing. Is like, what the hell? Like, if he does that, he's going to end up killing my mom. But going back to, was it, like 10 minutes before that actual scene, it's like he was explaining the timeline. Like, it technically hasn't happened yet, but it has to, because that small instance is the giant thing that actually keeps it all together.
And that's what I'm getting at with the whole thing of loss. It's like, okay, you have to let Yubar Thon go, knowing full well that you letting him go causes him to go back in time and kill your mother, because now he has so much information about you. And that was, to me, that was one of the most difficult things he's had to do. I mean, he's had to actually see her die. So it's like this sort of event that he has to keep reliving time after time again. And then coupled with, you know, what he's going through recently with Patty, man, I didn't think that the Barry character would be in that great of a mindset.
Flashpoint. like I said, every single time, it always goes right back to Flashpoint. Flashpoint paradox happens, and this is essentially the timeline where it's picking up to being Flashpoint.
Now, speaking of Patty, though, so she does finally figure it out. So she puts two and two together, and it would only make sense because she is a detective, and she puts it all together, and she's like, you know what? She confronts Joe, first off, and she's like, Barry's Flash, isn't he?
The look on his face, like, no, he's not,
Of course not.
He can barely run. What are we talking about?
He's a horrible liar, so it just sort of, like, reinforces that in her. And then she, you know, I think that Patty figured it out because, to an extent, she was grasping at straws. She wanted to find any reason to stay because she genuinely wants to be with Barry. And when she came to that conclusion, it not only did it make sense, but she wants to believe that that's true. Because if that's the case, then it would explain everything and there would be a reason for her to stay. Now, that's how I took it. I'm not sure if you took it the same way.
I did as well, but for one minor thing, one minor difference is if Barry did tell her, I bet you she still would have been hesitant to still leave anyways. Because one, now she knows he's a Flash. Two, there's a lot of danger. So now her knowing that, she's probably going to be like, well, crap, I actually do know this now, so I might be putting myself in danger by doing it. So I think that'll be the perfect time for me to leave, but at least leave on good terms with Barry.
I took it as a she doesn't mind danger. And that's how I took it, because there's that scene where she talks to Barry and she's like, it would have been nice being here, staying here, fighting crime during the day and being with you at night. And to me, that just shows like she didn't care. It's like she's saying, I don't care about the danger. I don't care about these other things. I literally just care about being with you. And that whole scene where she's staring at him and she's like got her watery eyes, she's crying and almost essentially begging Barry to tell her the truth. Mm-hmm. That was one of the hardest scenes to watch, man, because you really feel for that character, because up until then Patty was just she's had her moments and her very dark moments, but for the most part she's always smiling, and this is this character that just brings so much so much happiness to the show, you know, just with her presence, just how she makes like Barry feel and how everything's, you know, going great up until it isn't.
Yeah, she had to leave, she has to go to school because, well, that's what I saw from the comic book. She has to go. She ends up being a forensic scientist anyways, so she has to go. There's no way that she has to stay. There's no way she can stay. She has to be.
Now, do you think we'll be seeing her back anytime soon?
Yeah, I actually do believe that we'll see her back soon, because honestly, we've seen old characters come right back, and it's a common occurrence too, especially from here and Arrow, that they have characters always coming back and just out of nowhere doing shit, and I would definitely
like to see her back, and I'm a huge, like I said, from the very beginning, I've been a huge fan of her character, and even the last scene she was in, I thought was just perfect in that, you know, she texts Barry, and she tells him that it's an emergency on the train that she's on, and the Flash shows up, and instantly she's like, I know you're the Flash, just tell me already, like, tell me, and I will go back with you, tell me, and all this will stop, and, you know, I think at that point she understood why he's doing the things he's doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once he's past this kind of point in his life, he'll come back to her. And to an extent, I feel like that might be what she's feeling.
Yeah, that's one of the things I took from that. She calling Barry, and he just speeds there instantly, just saying it's a false alarm. But now that she knows exactly how he works, it's like, okay, you are the Flash. Well, I know that you would instantly come right towards me if I'm in danger. Like, I know you still care, but the fact is, like, yeah, I can't believe you just letting me go. And that look outside the window when she was staring, then you see the
says goodbye to Barry.
The goodbye is crazy, and then you see the Flash just go right past her. It's like, well, laters, I'm out of here. I was like, damn, that was really hard to watch. It really was.
Yeah, because and throughout this whole episode, like I said, it's just all about loss, and even at Patty's from Patty's point of view, you know, you think we talk about Barry a lot and what he's going through. And then you just, you see what Patty, like you kind of think of what Patty's going through and you start thinking, okay, well, she's lost just about as much. You can tell she definitely cared for him. So I'd love to see her back and I'd love to see where that relationship would eventually go. And if she comes back as maybe like some sort of assistant or comes back to a different extent, because she was sort of in the shadows throughout her whole stint in The Flash, you know, that character didn't really know much of what was going on in the background.
No, but she was pretty smart, though. That's the thing. Like, that's one of those things that I really took from her, that she's actually intelligent. And the great thing is, in the comic book, she actually does become Barry Allen's assistant. That's the great part.
So I'm definitely interested in seeing how that plays out and how her eventual return will be. But for now, it's a little sad to see her go, but I feel like it suits the story perfectly.
Yeah, Flashpoint. I'm telling you, it's this timeline right here. It's the build. It's a buildup of Flashpoint, a small little remnants of it.
I'm definitely interested in seeing where this goes.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com. That's film-book.com and search for either Stephen Bueno or the Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leagueofgents. That's G-E-N-T-S. Or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents, G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you listen to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.